Music from Duncan Sheik on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. And if you know a little bit about that album, that's from the Whisper House album. And it is it's a concept album that they've done as a stage show, not as a full-out musical. But Duncan Sheik did participate in a musical project. He wrote the music for a show called Spring Awakening, and it's going to be produced locally right here in the Miami Valley by Encore Theater Company. It opens this Friday night, and J.J. Parkey, who you may remember played Hedwig in Hedwig and the Angry Inch, as well as David Bowie in the Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars show at Jilly's this past fall, he's going to be directing it. So Shelly and I, Glad Girl Shelly and I, stopped down to some of the rehearsals and talked to JJ and got to listen to the cast getting ready for the show. And we've got a little preview for you.
The plot focuses around Melchior, who is kind of this rebel rouser sort of character. And his love interest in the show is Vendla. They're both very young. They're in their adolescence. Vendla is 14. Melchior is 17. And it shows how teenagers deal with sexuality and puberty in the time period of 1891. And it uses that in a really unconventional and brilliant way by using the music of Duncan Sheik. So whenever these teenagers have thoughts going through their minds and they can't be contained in the speech anymore, they break out into rock song. So it chronicles the story of their love and the hoops that they have to jump through, both societal and emotional hoops as well, just placed upon themselves. My brilliant choreographer, Nikki Wetter, did an incredible job of choreographing the inner thoughts of all of the boys and girls, and how there's always this constant struggle. There's you know, a negative and positive side of everything. So really taking, you know, just the concept of love and why do people love, and blowing that up as big as you can. Do people love for power? Do they love for lust? Do they love because their hearts tell them to? Do they love just because they have something to gain? Do they love because it's kind of dangerous? So that's kind of something that we've always always been talking about throughout rehearsals. And movement-wise, there's always this push and pull across stage, I like to think. We try to not just have the words carry the story, but if you were to turn down the audio completely and just look at it, that you should be able to see what's going on. I think in theater, the reason that it's important to get an audience really pulled in is because you always want to try to achieve these moments of synchronicity between an audience and what's happening on stage, where you want the audience to be completely immersed in the world of the play, where they forget what's going on. And it's not necessarily just for entertainment value. Entertainment in theater absolutely has its place. You should always be entertained, I believe. Even if it is a drama, you still leave the evening being like, wow, you know, I feel very satisfied by that evening of theater. But I think bringing the audience in so close doesn't let them off the hook. They have to be involved. And so those moments of synchronicity, we try to limit the amount of time where the audience is either looking at their program or wandering in their brains off to another place. So we try to squish the amount of time where the audience is actually feeling what is going on stage with the characters, and less distraction. Thanks to Peter at Blue Sky Group, we got this incredible, incredible space. It is the old Elder Bierman on 2nd and Ludlow, just across from the Schuster Center, which, what perfect place than to have it I'm right next to an established theater. So I think I'm hoping that that's going to draw even more people in just its location. But this place is cavernous, I think, is the best way to describe it. Hard cement floors, which are very difficult to dance on. They don't give your knees, your legs a lot of springing action. But it's been really incredible because I feel like since it was so bare, we've been able to put anything in it that we want, and it works beautifully. So we have aspects of the world of 1891 brought in from various scene pieces. So we literally have doors from, you know, the turn of the century, hard oak doors from the turn of the century, next to these aluminum lighting trusses that are providing light for our entire 28-foot space. And then our gorgeously painted floor is a diagram of the human heart. So now we have, you know, we have on a very emotional level the heart, and then we have aesthetically the old doors from, you know, from the turn of the century, and then this very contemporary industrial lighting. All of it comes together to create the world of Spring Awakening.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is your orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen of the orchestra, here's your cast.
When you come see Spring Awakening, come with it, come to it with an open heart and an open mind, and realizing that what those artists are saying on stage, what those souls are saying on stage, is pertinent to what is happening today. And that it is not a thing of 1891, but it is 2012 on that stage. And that the Spring Awakening that you might have seen on the tour or on Broadway is not the one that you're going to see in the abandoned Elder Beerman on Second Row.
Preview of Encore Theater Company's upcoming production of Spring Awakening. It opens this Friday and runs until February 4th. We'll get some info up on our Facebook page on how you can get tickets. And that was co-produced by Miss Glad Girl Shelley and I with some recording help from Matt Brassfield. Right now, we're going to hear Eleanor Friedeberger. This is from her latest album, Last Summer, and it's called Glitter Gold Year.